New figures from the midterm elections and some number crunching by data wonks is putting Wisconsin's voting maps back in the spotlight.
The state recently posted results at the ward level. A couple of private analysts then used those numbers to calculate the vote for governor in each assembly district.
Even though Governor Walker lost to Tony Evers with about 49.5% of the vote, the analysis shows he carried 63 of the 99 assembly districts. And it shows that actually 64 districts are more Republican than the state as a whole, meaning the GOP has a built-in 29-seat advantage.
Democrats say that's proof that the maps are rigged. But Assembly Speaker Robin Voss disagrees, saying at least a dozen districts that Republicans won were also carried by Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
That's all likely to come up at an April trial for a federal lawsuit against Wisconsin's current maps. And with incoming Democrats taking over as governor and attorney general, what does the future hold for those legislative boundaries? Barry Burden is a professor of political science at UW-Madison and director of the UW's Elections Research Center. Barry, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Good afternoon.
Well, you've been watching these issues for a while. You've been looking at the November elections. How much does gerrymandering or gerrymandering, these partisan redistricting lines, how did that play out in the November elections?
Well, it was pretty stark in this year's elections. Democrats obviously had a good election season. In Wisconsin, they won all five of the statewide offices. That has not happened to Democrats since the mid-1980s. But their success really stopped when it came to the state legislature. There was just one seat that flipped in each chamber in opposite directions, so sort of canceling out. So next year's legislature is going to look very much like the current one, with Republicans in solid control of both the Assembly and the state Senate.
But is that inherently crooked or weird, or is it a fact, or is it a matter of, as some Republicans are pointing out, hey, a lot of the Democrats live in concentrated areas. Any map you're going to draw is going to have some kind of bias like that.
Both things are at work. So on the one hand, there is a kind of unintentional gerrymander that's due to where Democrats and Republicans are located around the state. Democrats are extremely concentrated in Madison and Milwaukee and a smaller number of cities around the rest of the state. So it's probably the case that almost any map that could be produced, even one that Democrats would produce, would be likely to show at least a slight advantage for Republicans on those grounds. But that natural advantage was exaggerated because Republicans drew the lines back in 2011, the ones we're still using today. And they executed a really efficient gerrymander where they packed Democrats into a smaller number of districts quite excessively, so they have far more votes than they need to elect someone, and then spread out their supporters in a pretty effective way so that they have solid majorities in many districts where they're winning in this year's elections by 55 to 60% in many districts.
One of the challenges for bringing this case to court has been, okay, how do you prove an excessively partisan gerrymandering effort? And there's this mathematical idea of wasted votes by packing, say, a lot of Democrats into a few districts. You end up wasting a lot of their votes. Are we able to start measuring that for what just happened in November yet?
We are, and I don't know the number that will come out of this year's elections, but I can tell you that that efficiency gap measure has been calculated for each of the last four cycles since the districts went into place, and that measure featured very prominently in the litigation, the Gill v. Whitford case that was decided here in Madison in the Western District Federal Court and then went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in every election from 2012 till today, there's a very substantial advantage for Republicans. Many more Democratic voters have their votes wasted, either by being packed into districts so that they have many more than they would need to elect a Democrat, or put into districts where they're just below what they need to be effective, often at something like 35, 40, 45% of the vote. So the combination of those two things, the packing of Democrats and the diluting of their votes in other districts, does push that efficiency gap measure sometimes in the direction of double-digit advantages for Republicans.
Now, this current map only gets used officially in one more legislative election in 2020 before the new map is supposed to get drawn. But this court case is still out there. The U.S. Supreme Court sent it back to a lower court. They didn't quite completely shoot it down. Where is that that case now?
Well, the case is being re-argued here in federal court. It will be a three-judge panel of federal judges in Madison. Two of them are part of the original three that heard the case a couple of years ago. I think the questions that will be at issue in the case are pretty much the same. The plaintiffs are arguing that Democrats have had their constitutional rights violated, First Amendment rights and 14th Amendment rights. The Supreme Court decided not to look at those arguments, mainly because they thought Democrats, at least the plaintiffs in the case, didn't have standing. The plaintiffs think they've fixed that because they now have the Democratic Party as a plaintiff and lots of voters around the state. But you're going to see all that evidence come back now into court. It'll be re-argued. I think the trial is set for April. Sometime after that, we'll get a decision, and then that case will again go to the Supreme Court for a look.
Talking to Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison, about Wisconsin's voting maps, past, present, and future. And now we don't know what the courts will end up doing with our current map. Let's turn to what happens next. The census 2020, we'll find out who lives where, and then what?
Yeah, isn't this an amazing irony? We're just about to enter a new redistricting season, and we're still arguing about the maps that were passed almost 10 years ago in the previous redistricting season. So every 10 years, the U.S. government does a census. That'll be done in 2020. The data from the census will be given to the state in the spring of 2021, so it's always a year that ends in one. Then the municipalities around the state will create wards for their council elections and supervisor elections. And then after that, normally the legislature would enact a law or try to do so that creates a new set of maps. The challenge next time will be that it looks like we'll have divided government with Tony Evers as governor and probably still Republicans in control of the legislature. That's actually a return to the way things used to work in Wisconsin. From the 1960s until 2011, it was always divided government, and there was always stalemate, and the legislature and governor could never produce an outcome they agreed on, and it always went to the courts, where the map was finally imposed on the state. So we're back to that kind of normal Wisconsin politics, which I think puts the 2011 districts, it kind of highlights their unusual nature, that this was done under a period of unified government, where Republicans, both in the governor's office and the legislature, adopted the maps. That has not been the pattern in Wisconsin just because parties have so often shared power.
Now, in states around the country, I think both parties clearly get greedy. They hope they can control the whole process and draw a map their way. But there have been moves to change the redistricting process. Some other states do it differently. We've had calls in Wisconsin. At least one Democratic lawmaker is going to reintroduce a bill to have an independent entity draw the state's legislative maps. What are other ways we could do this apart from either one side does it all or both sides disagree and end up in the courts?
Well, there are now a lot of different models out there. This is one of the reforms that's moving across the states pretty quickly. States are adopting, in many cases, either a bipartisan commission or a tripartisan commission that has some independence on it. Just in this year's elections, I think there were four states where voters passed a referendum to create a commission in places like Michigan and Utah and elsewhere. In most of those states, there's a citizens commission where regular people can apply to serve. It will have a certain number of Republicans, a certain number of Democrats, and then usually either one independent tiebreaker or several. And the commission will have to come up with maps and by a supermajority vote, pretty near consensus, can impose those maps. The other model besides these citizens commissions that gets a lot of interest is what Iowa does, sometimes called the Iowa model. There, it's a state agency that draws the maps, and they hand them to the state legislature, which has to vote for them up or down with really no change. So you don't have citizens involved. There's really no partisan politics. That system has worked pretty well in Iowa since 1980, and I know that's one model that Wisconsin legislators sometimes look to.
Now, we've had funky maps in the United States going back to when a guy named Gary drew this salamander-shaped district and got made fun of, and probably before that. But is it bad for representative government to have these lines? How does it hurt us?
Well, it's complicated. It actually does put people into more homogeneous districts. So today, more Democrats in Wisconsin are represented by Democrats and Republicans by Republicans. So there's a better match, maybe, between the party of the legislator and of the constituent. But what it has done on the negative side is to essentially make control of the legislature uncompetitive. Even though the vote in Wisconsin sometimes favors Democrats in a statewide election, sometimes Republicans, we've had waves of both kinds in recent years, the legislature is impervious to that. It doesn't change. Again, these last four election cycles from 2012 till now, Republicans have had something between 60 and 65 of the seats in the assembly. despite the fact that Obama won the state one year, that this year was a good year for Democrats. So it essentially weakens the responsiveness of the legislature to actual changes in public preferences among voters.
With divided state government coming up, as you were saying, how ugly do you think this redistricting issue could get in 2021?
I think it could be quite ugly. Even in the Supreme Court case, it's going to be handled before that. There are going to be attorneys side by side. One will be the attorney general representing the state. The other will be an attorney appointed by Republicans in the assembly. So even that process will be contentious. But then when it comes to actually producing the maps in 2021, if we still have divided government, my guess is this goes very quickly to some litigation and to some courts being involved.
Very briefly, is this something that people in the public could get riled up enough about to make a difference and actually make Wisconsin change to something like maybe the Iowa model?
It is interesting. The amount of attention that the public pays to this issue has definitely risen over the last decade. It's now something you hear people talk about, among other issues, so that they care about jobs and taxes and immigration and health care, and also campaign finance and redistricting. Those both come up now as real concerns. The trouble is it's also become a partisan issue. And at least in Wisconsin, Democrats have sort of come around to the idea. They initially resisted it when they were in power. Being out of power makes it much more attractive. Republicans in the legislature seem very much opposed to the idea, so I don't see a lot of compromise there. And unlike these other states where it's been adopted by voters in a ballot initiative or referendum, Wisconsin doesn't have that option. So I think we're stuck with the system we have, at least for the near term.
Barry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Glad to be here.
That's Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison, director of the UW's Elections Research Center, talking to us about Wisconsin's upcoming redistricting fight.